He is always speaking. It's just we've been looking at experiencing God, and we're trying to delve into this experience and trying to understand how He speaks to us, how to better experience Him. He's always near. He's always doing something. We just been working on trying to figure out what that looks like. And so this morning, just asking the question, how can you know something is from God and not just your own ideas? How can you ever, so maybe this, have you ever wondered what God is saying to you specifically? See, the testimony of the Bible, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, is that God speaks to His people. That He's always been speaking, and more specifically in our day, God speaks through His Holy Spirit to you and to each of us. He speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit uses God's Word, the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church, other believers, to guide us. And so we've been talking about experiencing God, and we've been talking about what that looks like and how to hear God's voice is what we're going to talk about this morning. So I want to just remind us the seven realities of experiencing God that we're going to be working through a few more weeks starts with God is always at work. And can you put that up there on the screen for us? God is always at work. The seven realities. God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. Number three, God invites you to join Him in His work. And number four, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, the church, to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. And number five, God's invitation for you to join Him will always lead to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. So the crisis is you've got to make a decision. Will I do my own thing or will I do what God's telling me to do? Number six, you must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what He is doing, because sometimes we're over here and God's over here and He's doing this over here. And then number seven is you come to know God by experience. God has God as you obey Him, and He accomplishes His work through you. So as you're obeying Him, you experience who He is and what He's all about and His purposes. So those are the seven realities. And there's a picture that I want to put up just to kind of give us an idea of what this looks like. It's the reality It's the journey that a person would go through in experiencing God. We've talked about the work of God. It's happening. And then we start this relationship with Him. And so He tells us that He loves us. He brings us out of sin and death. And He starts a relationship with us. And then He invites us into His work, number three. And then He speaks to us, kind of like Moses in the burning bush. He speaks to us in a unique and personal way. And then five is the crisis of belief there on the screen. And then the adjust. You see the tool. God adjusts us to be in sync with Him. And then seven, obey and experience God. So that's kind of what the journey looks like. So when you are experiencing God, or when you're listening to God, and He is speaking, sometimes you might have this experience where someone tells you something and you wonder if it's good advice. And you wonder maybe if a circumstance comes around and you wonder, is this an open door that God has provided? Well, some of the things that happen in our lives, we have to adjust and we have to ask the right questions. Is this you, God? Is this open door what you're doing in my life? And is this something that I need to do? And so when we come to the Lord and we ask and we pray, the best thing to do is to check to see if it is in alignment or if it is backed up by Scripture. God's Word is a foundation of what God will speak. God will not speak against His Word because it's already been written down. It's already true. He's already told us what it is. And so always check with whatever door that has opened, always check if it has any contradiction against God's Word or not. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." God is always speaking and He's always lighting the path for us. It's just asking the question, Lord, will you reveal what that is for today? A Christian should know that God is speaking because it is at the heart of his Christian life. If you are not hearing God or if you are unaware of his voice, that is a indicator of that your relationship is not where it needs to be. Because God speaks and he reveals himself, his purposes and his ways. It's the same thing about your conscience. God uses your conscience to speak to you. If you're going the wrong way, he says, hey, you're going the wrong way. This is not right. And then the same thing is if you're going the right direction, if you're doing the right thing, if you're following him and exactly what he's called you to do, he says to you, and he's already probably said this many times, you're going the right direction. This is where I have you to be. I remember, and I'm just going to throw this in. I remember when we first heard about this job here in Sweet Home, and I was doing work, construction. We were in the midst of transition in our lives. We had decided that God was directing us away from the mission field for the time being, and we were kind of uncertain about life. And at that time, God provided a job that was for exactly a year doing construction. God provided a house that we stayed there for exactly a year. And in that year, we got this invitation to come here. And I remember praying with Susan. I remember praying throughout the day as I was doing construction. And I was really seeking the Lord. What are you doing? Is this what you want us to do? And in my spirit, I was considering that this is the direction that God was taking us. I was like, okay, this feels like God is directing us this direction. And I came home after thinking about it, after praying about it, and I had this conversation with Susan. I said, Susan, what do you think of this idea coming to Sweet Home? And she turned to me and says, well, it's a no-brainer. And I literally, I felt like my jaw dropped. Because we had been pursuing a whole different route, going to do missions over in Europe. And God just did a U-turn in our lives. And we were kind of in this transition. And this job opens up, coming here to do this ministry. And she said, in confirmation with what God wanted us to do, was a no-brainer. And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, it's a full-time ministry job. It's a great place to raise kids. I mean, just down the list. And God was guiding and directing us in that. So we continued to pray. We continued to step into that, into faith. And as we were going, God confirmed, continuously confirmed through people, through Scripture, through whatever, His Holy Spirit telling us that this was the right thing for us to do. And don't you think it's the right thing for us to be here? I think so. I'm okay with it. So, but, you know, when I think of God speaking, that I go back to those type of things. Those are big decisions. But even in the little decisions in your daily walk, God gives you direction. He's speaking to you. It could be as simple as, hey, here's the verse for the day, and you read it on your phone, and God says, hey, send it to this person. And you send it to that person, and then 2 days later, they say, hey, that was really exactly what I needed to hear. I mean, God speaks all the time. Do we hear Him? Do we hear Him? Are we like Moses? When He speaks, do we have this debate with Him? Do we have this conversation? Yeah, but I just, I can't do that. Or, are you sure I'm the right person? Or whatever. We ask those questions. We debate with God. And we overcomplicate it. We overcomplicate God's voice and His will for our lives. Hebrews 1:1, God has been speaking to our ancestors through prophets at many times in various ways, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. God spoke into being the universe. He's speaking. He spoke through His Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, this is My Son who I'm deeply in love with, and He continues to speak to us. So here's just a list of some of the things, some of the ways God has spoken. He's spoken through angels. He's spoken through visions. He's spoken through dreams. He's spoken through a burning bush. He's spoken as the word of the Lord has been given. He's spoken with a gentle whisper. He's spoken with miraculous signs. He's spoken through His Holy Spirit hindering Paul from going different places. And so on. And so what can we understand about God's voice? God's voice is it's a unique personal experience. I think of Moses in the burning bush, or Samuel, or Mary, or Paul. All of these different stories in the Bible where God uniquely spoke to a person. And the thing is that because of God's gentleness and His grace and His love for us, He reassures people. I mean, Gideon, I think of Gideon, how he had doubt. And so he continually said, Lord, is this really You? And God reassured him, yes, this is what I want You to do. And I think of also Elijah and his doubts, and how Elijah was in a dark place and he was doubting that this is what the Lord had for him. And the Lord reassured him. I'll show you a scripture in a few minutes on that one. But those in the Bible knew what God was saying. It's not like they didn't know. They knew who the person was and they know what He was saying. And so God wants to do that with you and with me. He wants us to know who's speaking, that He is speaking, and He wants us to know what He is saying. And that it's not just a list of tasks, but it is an encounter with God. It's not just He wants us to hear His voice so that we'll just go do His work. It's He wants us to hear His voice so that we have this deeper relationship with Him that He is already at work at, and He invites us into it. And so maybe you've asked the question in your life, does God give clear instructions? Yes, I believe He does. God's Word, though, is always the foundation of what God's will is for your day. He's always got a purpose and a plan, and what is that in regards to your specific day and what God has for you to do, to be a part of. We can't go by just our emotions. And we cannot just go by our circumstances. We can't just all go by the desires that we have, because that gets us in trouble. Well, I want to do this. And then we see an open door and we go through that thinking that that's the Lord's will. And we just say, oh yeah, this is what God wanted me to do. Because the circumstances were just right. The thing is, we have to be careful that it's not always God's will, even though the circumstances are working. We don't like to wait, because waiting is hard. But the more I know God, it seems that He puts our relationship with Him as the most is the most important. And so He desires to teach us what we need to learn that makes that makes His timing more important. So He wants to continually teach us things. And so His timing is not always our timing. We don't like to wait for His timing. You know that phrase that you've heard people say, God is either saying yes or no or not yet. I think that he's always, and you could probably prove me wrong. I don't know, maybe this is not right, but I believe that God is either saying yes to us, it's going to happen, whatever we're asking, or no, it's not going to happen, or just not yet. And the not yet is the hard part, isn't it? But if God's ways are higher than our ways, then wouldn't He know what's best of what is going to happen and when it's going to happen? That God's ways are higher than our ways. God's will is the highest good. A.W. Tozer has some great things to say, but he says it's the nature of God to speak. That is His nature to speak. And the Holy Spirit leads us. And then Jesus in Scriptures said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. 6 times in the Gospels it says, whoever has ears, let them hear. And 8 times in Revelation it says, whoever has ears, let them hear. Ellen has a funny game show on TV that I've enjoyed, and it's fun to watch her with all these different creative things that they do to the contestants. And one of the game in particular is like the game we used to play when we were kids. It's called, you know, the telephone, where you start one end and you say something, and by the end you try and describe what you heard. Well, this game is called Say What? And I wanted to show you just a clip of, I think this was a just hilarious scene of some ladies trying to understand what the first person was saying. So let's watch. Is it showing up? You might have to click on the desktop of the OpenLP. There you go.
Be honest with me, would I look cute in a hot halter top? Okay. Be honest with me, would I look cute in a halter top? All right. Big Alice ran with the big group. Got it?
Mostly like and the garbage.
Well, that didn't even make sense, really. But let's see what the sentence was, okay? It was, be honest with me, would I look cute in a hot halter top?
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes. A little off. All right, a little off. But so you got 0 points. So the next team really has to get one
That's
point
good.
Right, and they win.
That's right. Good, Nathaniel. That is funny, and what's interesting, it's so true, that we have these headphones on, and we get distractions from life, and there's things that block us out from hearing God's voice, and we get it all wrong, because this is what God's wanting us to do, and this is what God wants us to hear, and yet we're distracted by other things. The headphones that represent all the things in this world are demanding of our attention. The noise from work, from the media on TV, from the internet, from social media sites, from the tasks of life, they want our attention, and God wants to be number one in speaking into our life. So whoever has ears, let him hear. God wants you to hear his voice. He has good things for you to hear. He has solutions for your life. He wants to say to you where he wants you to go and what to do and what he is saying about you and your identity and his purposes in your life. And so why wouldn't we want to hear those things? So to take those headphones off and to hear clearly what he has for us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" And so God is, because you have become a believer in Christ and you're a follower of Christ and you are a temple of Christ, he is in your midst and he is in your being and he tells you, he speaks to you all the time. And so I want to give you four thoughts or 4 points that you can write down that may help. Just 4 thoughts about God's voice. Number one is to check your receiver. Check your receiver. You know that the radios long ago, I have a picture of an old radio that had the knobs on it, and maybe we had newer radios than some of you, but this might look familiar to you, but there's like 4 knobs on this, and they would move the knob just right so that they could receive the signal clearly. Nowadays, we don't have to do that as much, right? But because it's all digitalized. But check your receiver. Check to see if you're in the right place to hear what God has for you, that you are expecting him to speak. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You worship me with all your heart, and I will be with you." God is with you. He wants to speak to you. And so, do you expect him to do that? Are you turning the knob to get that answer? So the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19:12, he has just had the mountain experience. He had just seen God move in mighty, miraculous ways. And he goes and he runs away from the enemy and he gets afraid. And he comes to a place where he is discouraged and distraught and he doesn't know what to do. And this is what happens. 1 Kings 19:12. "While Elijah was on Mount Sinai, the Lord asked, 'Elijah, why are you here?' He answered, 'Lord God Almighty, God All-Powerful, I've always done my best to obey you, but your people have broken their solemn promise to you. They have torn down your altars and killed all your prophets except me. My poor little me, I'm the only one here, right? And now they are even trying to kill me. Go out and stand,' the Lord replied, 'go out and stand on the mountain. I want you to see me when I pass by.' All at once, a strong wind shook the mountain, and shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. Next there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Finally, there was a gentle breeze, and when Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his coat, and he went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. And the Lord asked, "Elijah, why are you here?" You see, God was, at that moment, he was expressing himself. He was speaking to Elijah through a quiet whisper, through the breeze. And so sometimes God speaks to us that way, doesn't he? Sometimes he's right there speaking to us very quietly, but when we have all the noise going on, we have a hard time hearing him. And so tune in and listen. As my dad would say, you got two ears and one mouth for a reason. You got double reason to listen. And sometimes there, I think what happens is when God speaks, there's this inward witness, the Spirit, God's Spirit, big S to this small s, Spirit, our Spirit. And God will give you a thought or prompt you to do something or to say something because you have had this, you've had this closeness with him. And then you know, beyond a shadow of doubt, that is what he wants to do in your life. Or what he wants you to do in your day. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, "But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit." I would think that you being a follower of Jesus, you would want to be one with him in spirit. And you would want to be one with him in his purposes. So seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added. Number two is to find his frequency. John 10:4 says, "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." So if you are turning the knob on that radio and you're praying about it and you're listening, you will hear his voice because you know him. You've spent time with him. You've read his word. You know what his character is like. And some of the distractions we have are not just noise, but they are we want huge signs from God. We're asking God to give us this big, huge bulletin board built up there in the sky. Hey, Lord, give us this sign. And yet, if we're looking for God to send out to part the Red Sea, we might be missing what God is saying to us right now. We're looking for something big and thunderous. Things like, could be, you can fill in the blank, but things like clean your house or stop watching certain things or spend time with that person or read some of my word that I have already given to you. You see, we make things more complicated, don't we? And yet God has already been telling us things that are true and things that would help us in our life to be better. And see, here's the thing, disobedience or things that hinder us can actually lead to a famine of hearing his voice. If we're not right with God, if we have disobeyed him, we haven't made things right, it's going to be harder for us to hear his voice and to know that he's speaking. And so there needs to be a willingness of heart, of asking for forgiveness and a willingness to make small adjustments. You see, if you look at some of the stories of the disciples, Jesus came to them and said, "Come follow me." Immediately, it's interesting that immediately all those disciples just got up and followed. And that's kind of what I think would be good in our lives is just to say, "I'm here, I'm ready, I'm willing. Send me, Lord." Luke 16:10 says, "If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. If you are dishonest in little things, you won't be dishonest or you won't be honest with greater responsibility." So basically, if you're faithful in the little things, God will give you greater responsibility. And so, if we disobey or not listen, we won't graduate to bigger assignments. So some things we focus on. We focus on our feelings, on the circumstances, on the world noise. And then sometimes the distractions are our sin, clouds are hearing from Him. And so walking with God will bring peace in our lives. And so He's training us to live in freedom and how to be led by His Spirit. So what are some of the things that are holding you back from hearing His voice? What are some of the distractions? Matthew 18 tells us to be like little children, to trust and to become like them, and so that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not this high-minded and all-knowing, I have it all figured out, I'm going to do what I want to do. But these, like little children, saying, Lord, what do you want? What are you doing? Can I join you in that? So number one, check your receiver. Number two, find His frequency. And number three, learn to discern His voice. Again, in John 10, it says, verse 27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So how do you know a person's voice? Well, you spend time with them. Right? You spend time. If someone calls you on the phone, you don't need to look at their phone number. You don't need to see that who the person is. When you hear their voice, immediately you know who that person is because you recognize their voice. And it's the same thing with God. When you hear His voice, when you know, when you've spent time with Him, you hear His voice, you know it's exactly Him. It's His voice. Just like the shepherd and the sheep. Spend time with Him. Renew your mind by His Word. His Word speaks volumes into our lives. So prayer, it's not just listening, or just not talking all the time. It's listening. The other thing, the other story that I want to tell you about is the story of Samuel. Samuel was a young boy and he was dedicated to the Lord. He was serving under Eli, and Eli was sleeping, and Samuel hears this voice and he thinks it's Eli speaking. Samuel 1, or 1 Samuel Chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. But one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me? But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and laid down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me? Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said, told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Wouldn't it be cool to hear the actual voice of God? The thing is, He is already speaking to you. And as Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." That is what the Lord is asking of us to say to Him. So number one is to check your receiver. Number two is to find His frequency. Number three is to learn to discern His voice. And number four is to line it up with His word. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appears in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory." So God is speaking through His Son, who has come down to this earth and has showed us how to live and to be and to save us from all our sin. And so the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, God in the flesh. You know, God will never tell you to do something that is against His word. He will not tell you to not forgive. He will not tell you to give your spouse a cold shoulder. He will not tell you to spend your money frivolously. Because those type of things, and you could go on and on about these different experiences, all these different things are examples of things that go against His word. God always agrees with His word. Psalms 138 says, verse 2 says, I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. So His solemn decree, His word is a covenant signed with Jesus' blood that His word is true. That it doesn't come back void. And so everything that He has spoken, everything that He has that is written down in God's word is true and holds water. And so if you hear something and you're told something and you think you're supposed to do something, check it with God's word. God trains us through His word. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Isn't that cool? That He will tell you things that you don't know. In fact, probably everything you know, He told you. He taught you through your parents, through school, through your work, through revelation, through whatever. He has given you all of that. And He speaks to you. So check your receiver. Find His frequency. Learn to discern His voice, and then line it up with His word. Revelation 3:20, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." That's cool. That God wants to have this fellowship, this relationship with us, and that we can actually hear His voice. It's not just us talking. He wants to talk. He wants us to hear His voice. And so may you do that this week. May you hear His voice. May you do what He has asked you to do. May you just hear what He wants to say, how much He loves you and cares for you and wants to tell you about your identity and your purpose in life. I want to end with this prayer. It says, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You that You desire to speak to me every day, guiding me in spirit and in truth to obey Your word and enjoy an abundant life. I thank You that You have called me Your friend and that I may come boldly to the throne of grace to find help whenever I have a need in my life. Lord, your word says that when we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So I draw near to you today. I seek your face, your truth, your word for my life. I want to know you more, hear you more, and obey you more. Your word says your sheep know your voice, and we will not follow the voice of a stranger. Help me to know your voice and not to be deceived by any other voice. Help me to guard my heart from the influence of this world and the people around me. Help me not to be deceived by the devil and his lies, but to view all thoughts and decisions through the lenses of righteousness. And as I seek to hear you today for instruction, correction, and guidance, help me to confirm your voice through your word. You said if I ask for wisdom, you will give it to me liberally. I am asking for wisdom in the name of Jesus to hear you clearly and consistently today and every day. Help me to feel confident in knowing that I hear your voice. I praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.